Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look into the wonderful words of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me in verse number 1 as I begin reading there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Our Father in heaven, may you bless your word today. And Lord, by your Spirit, may you apply your word to the hearts of each and every person that's come to hear this message. I pray, Lord, that as wherever this message sounds out, that the Spirit of God would bear witness to the truths to each individual as they need them. Lord, some of the things we're going to say are going to apply to a certain group of people. And some of the things we're going to say to apply to a different group of people. You know the needs in each and every heart. Minister to those needs, I ask, in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you today about the world's best-kept secret. Now, it's not what some folks might think it is. Some people might think that the world's best-kept secret is the recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it isn't that, although I understand that is a pretty well-kept secret. Nor is it the recipe for Coca-Cola. That ain't it. Nor is the world's best-kept secret where Jimmy Hoffa was buried either. I mean, everybody knows he's in the end zone at Giant Stadium, somewhere under there. But those may be greatly kept secrets, but they're not the world's best kept secret. The world's best kept secret. I believe that the world's best kept secret, by my observation, is God's simple plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." You know, the gospel is often hid from the eyes of people that are unbelieving. I mean, it has been so worked out that the gospel is kept back from the people that need it most. I mean, the cure for the world's problems is the gospel. I mean, the doctors, Brother Rolfe say, you know, doctors give all kinds of pills, but what the world needs is they need the gospel. And that's exactly what they need. That'll solve all of the sinful problems that they've got. And they're looking for a better way of life. And what they need is they need a new life. They're looking to turn over a new leaf. They need a new life inside. They need Jesus Christ. And the devil keeps that hid from people. It says if our gospel be hid. So sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hid from the eyes of people. Though much of the world knows about Jesus, much of the world still does not know Jesus. And though much of the world knows about Jesus, I mean, they may know about him, but they do not know how that God, I mean, even the ones that know him or know about a lot about him, they don't know how God can save a soul right now through Jesus Christ. They know of him, but they don't know practically how that applies to them. I was almost 19 years old before I ever heard the clear-cut plan of salvation according to the Scriptures. I was almost 19 years old before I ever really knew how to be saved. That's a pretty good trick to keep somebody in this world unaware of that fact for almost 19 years. I mean, I was less than 4 months shy of being 19 years old before I ever knew the simple plan of salvation. And I had lived nearly 19 years in the good old U.S. of A. And before that knowledge ever came to my heart and my soul. I mean, this is supposed to be a Christian country. They call it a Christian country. I mean, they don't call it, I'm talking about what they profess. They profess to be a Christian country. They don't profess to be a heathen country like, you know, in the dark dungeons of the depths of the jungles and the bush and the outskirts of this world and third world countries and so forth. They don't claim to be heathens. They claim to be a Christian nation. And yet it took me almost 19 years to find out how that Christ could be my personal Savior. The gospel is hid oftentimes. In the book of Romans, don't turn there, but in Romans chapter 16, the Bible says in verse number 24, it says in Romans 16:24, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." He talks about a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. Then he says of that mystery, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That is, that God had kept that thing hid, and then when it came to the fullness of time and Christ died for sinners and rose again from the dead, according to the scriptures, after being buried, it came to pass that the Lord began to manifest that through the scriptures to the nations so that everybody could hear. And yet, even after he spoke this, now almost 2,000 years later, it seems that this thing which was kept a mystery since before the world began, but yet then was made manifest, has now gotten to the place in many parts of this world where it's still a mystery. I mean, many portions of the world have not heard of Jesus Christ. Many who have heard of Jesus Christ have not heard of how to be saved through Jesus Christ. I grew up having heard of Jesus Christ, but the gospel was still hid to me. I did not understand salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, sadly to say, today it's still a secret and mystery to much of the world. I mean, billions, I believe, of individuals do not know nor understand how to personally receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I want to this morning, for just a few short moments, I want to tell you about some reasons that salvation for an individual in Jesus Christ is yet today the world's best kept secret. Number one, I believe it's the world's best kept secret, number one, because Beelzebub is blinding. I mean, he's blinding the world. Beelzebub's another name that's given for the devil. Don't need to look it up. You can look it up later on, that is. In Mark chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, they called Jesus Beelzebub, and said, he casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus responded by saying, if Satan cast out Satan. So it's a name that was referred to as a reference to the devil. And he is, and the one reason why the world today doesn't know the plan of salvation is because, very simply, the devil's blinding him. Beelzebub is blinding. There's a force at work in this world to keep people from finding out about how to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, look in our text, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or 4, if you're there, in verse 3, where he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So I reiterate, sometimes the gospel's hid. Sometimes people don't know about it. He says, about that, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. One of the main reasons that the gospel is hid to the multitudes and individuals is because the devil is keeping them blinded from seeing it. Not only blinded from believing, but blinded from knowing and hearing what they should believe in. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, it must have taken some real skill to keep me blinded to that fact for about 19 years. I mean, somebody had to be very skillful. I mean, make sure that he kept me from hearing it at the right time, kept me out of the places where it was going to be talked about, kept people from telling to me. Somebody was real skilled. I mean, with all in this day and age, even when I was growing up, I mean, all the media that could have been employed to get the gospel to me, I mean, the radio, the television, I'm talking about, there's all kinds of ways. The printed page, I mean, there's all kinds of ways somebody could have got the gospel to me. Telephone, somebody could have called me on a telephone. I mean, the spoken word, the post office, I could have got it in the mail. I mean, a cassette tape. You would have thinking somehow, in almost 19 years of living in the United States of America, claiming to be a Christian nation, that I would have got the clear-cut plan of salvation. But I didn't. I didn't. And truth is, there's some of you that have experienced along those same lines. You lived for many a year and you did not get the clear-cut plan of salvation, though a lot of you grew up in a church, like I did. How did I miss it? How did I go for 19 years and miss the plan of salvation? Or maybe I should ask, how did it miss me? How did the plan of salvation miss me? There's somebody keeping it away from me and me away from it. It's the devil. He's behind it, trying to move this way and that way so that people don't know about it, people don't hear about it. I mean, Satan is blinding. Beelzebub is keeping the world blind, and he's got all kinds of ways of doing it. I mean, he blinds them by all kinds of things. He blinds them by false religion, which is what I grew up in. I mean, but before I was knee-deep in sin in my life, I was knee-deep in a false religion. I mean, before I was knee-deep in sin and steeped in sin, I was steeped in false religion. I mean, from the time I was just an itsy-bitsy baby, they took me in and poured water on my head, made me cry, and said, all right, now you're a Catholic. And said, now original sin is washed away, so if you died, you can go to heaven. And they told me all kinds of stuff But one thing they never told me about is how, from the Bible, I could know for sure I was going to heaven. I had 10 years of Roman Catholic schooling, in addition to going to Roman Catholic Church for over 18 years. 10 years of Roman Catholic school. Every year we'd have religion class. I mean, that means 10 years of Roman Catholic religious classes, and they told me all kinds of things. But with a class every year for 10 years, not once did they ever tell me the plan of salvation, the gospel, as it's given in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. You say, oh, but in the Catholic Church, they tell about Jesus' life and his death and his blood and his burial, his resurrection. But they don't give me the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells me that the gospel is how that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Twice in the gospel, as it is defined in 1 Corinthians 15, he says according to the Scriptures. And what the Roman Catholic Church told me was that he died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead, but they did not tell me what that meant according to the Scriptures. And according to the Scriptures, I must take that and apply that to my life by receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. They told me what he did, but they didn't tell me how that personally applied to me. They brought me right up to the threshold of salvation, but they never told me how to go through the door. He was the door. They told me all about how they had the keys, but they didn't tell me how to get through the door, see? I mean, we got the keys, and they dangle them in front of your face, but they never give them to you, do they? And I needed the door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. When I was 18-plus years old, I went through the door. How did he keep it away from me? He kept me blinded from that. He kept it largely through my false religion. I grew up, I got nothing against Roman Catholic people, but the religious system is false and heretical and wrong. And say, I just don't think you ought to talk about other people's religions like that. Well, then don't you ever do it. I mean, you don't think you ought to talk about other religions like that? Then don't you do it, and make sure when you don't do it, you don't talk against mine. Because in mine, they talk against others. That's my religion, free country. I believe I ought to be able to worship freely, and in my religion, I believe in talking against other people's religions. You're welcome. Now, you can go talk against it. You can go talk against mine and say, I just don't think you ought to talk against other people's religion. Well, you're talking against mine. That's my religion. You better watch it, you hypocrite. You're going to be a hypocrite here in a moment if you don't watch out. You say, where do you get that stuff from? I never heard such a person talk like that. Who you been listening to? You get that stuff from the Bible. Jesus Christ, you know what he did? He spoke against other folks' religions. Unless you don't call this speaking against other folks' religions. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! How can you escape the damnation of hell, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers? Ye encompass land and sea to make one proselyte or convert. He says, you make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves when you find them. I mean, you think that's very nice words. But that's Jesus Christ's words. He spoke against other folks' religions. He said, I'll tell you how much he spoke against other folks' religions. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what he did when he did that? He shut out the Buddhists. He shut out the Muslims. He shut out the Hare Krishnas. He shut out every false religion where a person didn't come to God through him. Say, I just don't believe in it still. Well, you get your Bible. Back there in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18, you know what Elijah did? He spoke against somebody else's religion. The sincere prophets of Baal. Walking around in their long black robes. These Baalite priests and prophets, I mean, Elijah spoke against them so much that he began, don't take my word for it, read your Bible. You know what he said? He mocked them. He mocked them, and here they are at their worship service trying to call fire down from heaven, you know, cutting themselves and bleeding and doing all this stuff. And he said, cry aloud, you know, for perhaps your God is on a journey or he's sleeping or something like that, and he must need be away. And it says Elijah mocked them. He mocked them. Now listen, I don't always go so far as to do that with other folks' beliefs, and I realize that people, it's a free country, and people have a free will, and they got rights, and they got a right to be wrong if they want. But I also have a responsibility to tell them when they are wrong. That's my calling. God has called me to tell the truth. Actually, that's what I thought all quote-unquote ministers were supposed to do. When I was 18 years old, I found out that that's not what they're all called to do, because I found out I'd been lied to for about 18 years, and when somebody, and I thought a lot of them didn't know what I found out. And then I found out a lot of them did know it, they just didn't tell me. A lot of them did know how to get to heaven, they just wouldn't tell me how to do it because they didn't believe it. A lot of them, they kept it hid. And what keeps people blinded from the gospel a lot of times is false religion. If our gospel be hid, it's hid. It's the world's best kept secret. You got people running all over this town that don't know about salvation through Jesus Christ for their own personal life. They don't know about it. Oh, some of them know about Jesus. Some of them know that he died. Some of them know that he was buried. Some of them know that he was rose again. But they don't know what that means to them. Their false religion tells them about what he did, but it doesn't tell them about what that means for them. It's the best kept secret in the world. He died for our sins. I mean, I tell you what they told me in the Catholic Church. They told me that Christ died for our sins, and he told me that I must receive communion, and that I must go to confession, and I must receive the sacraments, and I must die in a state of grace in order to go to heaven. And then if I did all that and still died in a state of grace, they still couldn't tell me if I really would go to heaven for sure. In other words, you work, you do this, you do that, and you work and work and work, and yet you still don't really know for sure if you're going to heaven when you die. I have had more than one Catholic priest tell me personally that you can't really know you're going to heaven for sure until you die. I mean, don't just sit there and get mad at me. Go talk to the priest yourself. Ask him, how can I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die? Now listen, people out in this world, they think the Pope's a real great guy and everything. You know, if he's a real great guy, how come when he gets up to speak in front of international television, how come he doesn't tell folks how to get saved? Because all this gas talking about third world countries and feeding the poor people and so forth. And he lives in a mansion. Listen, he lives in a mansion that's got more toilets in it than you got rooms in your house. That's right. Get an education, folks. Go to the library and pick you up a book about the Vatican. You want to feed some folks in the third world country, sell some of the gold out of your Vatican. Sell the mansion and live in a normal. All this talk, they criticize the Bible thumpers, and we, I mean, this is not, they're not even our stripe. They criticize folks like these televangelists, and I'm not part of them, and so on and so forth. They criticize them for riding around in their Lincolns and this, that, and the other thing. Pope's got his own private Pope mobile. He's got a mansion that would put, that's right, he's got a mansion that would put any house that these folks got that they live in to shame. Nobody says boo about that, do they? No, they don't. They just bow down and kiss his foot when he comes by. Now listen, if I had 5 minutes on national television, you wouldn't have to worry about me talking about the poor starving masses and problems in third world countries. I'd give them the plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. Pope's had more than that. He ain't never once told them how to get saved. You say, well, I just think it again. You've been letting the world do your thinking for you. You know why a lot of you think he's a great guy? Because that's what the world's telling you. They tell you that on television. They tell you that in the newspaper. They tell you that in the magazines. Good night. Several years back, when the Pope got shot, Time magazine ran him on the cover story, ran an article on the inside that had an article. They had several articles about the one event from different perspectives. And the headlines for one of those articles after the Pope got shot said, "It's like shooting God." That is what is known as blasphemy. But they told me that Christ died for our sins, and now he must receive communion, do all this other stuff, and nobody really knew for sure. Nobody can really know for sure. That was several years ago. I went out to Montana, to Billings, Montana, to help a friend of mine start a church. He had talked about it and planned it out after he graduated. He wanted me to come out and help him out, so I did. And we tried to get a church started out there, and did soul winning and preaching. But before he came out there to get the church started, he took a trip out there with me, dropped me off, and left me out there all by my lonesome self for 40 days and 40 nights of testing and trying. And when I counted it out, how many days it was, that's what came out to be, 40 days and 40 nights. And so I didn't have church to go to and so forth, and I'd once in a while try to visit some of the local ones. And I was looking around one night. I was walking around town looking for a church to go on Sunday night. And I saw a bunch of folks going into church. Now, my thinking is, man, anybody that's going to have church on Sunday night, it's got to be halfway decent. That's what I thought. And so until I was introduced to something that I'd never seen in all my years of growing up, I came up to the place and found out it was a Roman Catholic church having a Sunday night service. And it wasn't even for a Monday holy day of obligation, I mean, so they can get it over with. It was just a normal service. I'd never known them to have church on Sunday night. But don't worry, it wasn't the same folks that went there Sunday morning that went on Sunday night. It was whoever went in there, you know, that was, if they missed, they could, you know, sleep in Sunday morning, play all day, and then go Sunday night, and that would qualify their obligations, fulfill their obligations for it. But I don't know why I did it. I guess I really wanted to go to church, but I was saved. I just went ahead and went in and sat in on the service again, way in the back. And I observed, it was all I could do to keep my mouth shut. All I could do. I just kept remembering, charity behaveth not herself unseemly. And so I sat through it and got mad. And I learned several things, which I don't have time to tell you about this morning. But I'll tell you one thing. When the service was over, the guy they called the priest, I mean, they called him, I've been mean enough already. The guy they called the priest came down the center aisle and went out the back of the church and stood out in front like they do and was shaking hands and greeting the people and so on and so forth. And I was one of the people. So I went and shook hands with him, and I, with restraint, I asked him, how come you didn't tell him how to get saved? He says, they know how to get saved. I said, I grew up I was in the Catholic Church for 18 years, and they never told me how to get saved. How come you tell them I get saved? They know how to get saved. I said, no, they don't. Do you? And we went out at it for a little bit, and finally said, young man, I have to greet people, you know. Get away, you're putting on a bad show, you're making a scene here. And that guy, he didn't tell them how to get saved. He's never told them how to get saved. He's never going to tell them how to get saved unless he gets saved himself, and he probably don't right now know how to get saved himself. And they don't, moreover, he don't care. It don't matter to him. I mean, he's hung up in his false religion, and false religion blinds folks. It blinds folks, and that's one thing that the devil uses to blind people is false religion. Listen, the Mormon Church is a false religion put here by the devil to blind people from knowing how to go to heaven. See, I just don't believe it. You don't know much, do you? You don't know much if you don't believe that. The Book of Mormon is a satanic it's imitation of the Bible. They exalt it. Joseph Smith, by his own testimony, says that the Book of Mormon he knows it to be more true than any other book on the face of this earth, and that a man can get closer to God by reading the Book of Mormon than he can get by reading any other book on the face of this earth. That's the testimony of Joseph Smith, who allegedly found the golden plates, as he was told by the angel, and found those and translated them and so on and so forth. That's what he believes. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. Not for a second. It's Moroni. Angel Moroni is full of baloney. And of course, it's not pronounced Moroni. It's really pronounced Moroni. But you want to get a Mormon mad. And every once in a while, it's good for Mormons to get mad, you know, just to know that they're human. But that's a false religion. And I don't have time to tell you through all that stuff about everything that's in there right now. But that thing is an imitation of the Word of God. They claim it to be another testament of Jesus Christ. When God said at the end of Revelation, you're not to add the words of the book of this prophecy. And he said, add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Amen. They won't take it from Revelation. Give it to them from Proverbs 30. The Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall is a false religion put here by the devil to keep folks blinded from being able to find out how to be saved. And I go on and on. The Seventh-day Adventist, the Church of Christ, who believe that in order for a man to be saved, he's got to be baptized. That's heresy. We're going to have baptism today. It ain't going to be to save anybody. It's going to be a step of obedience after salvation to be a public testimony, to show on the outside what's happened to him on the inside. Amen. And that's what it is. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, 1 Peter chapter 3, which they can't read, I suppose. They can only read part of the verse. But they're blinded. They're blinded by false religion. You know, many people are blinded by their parents. I mean, they're blinded by their parents. The parents say, well, about religion, well, you know, some of them say, well, I don't want to push anything on my kids and this, that, and the other thing. And then they'll send them out in the world and let the world push everything the world wants to push on them. Like people saying, I don't want to, you know, I just don't want to lead my kids into religion. You lead them into rock music, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Who pays for a lot of the tickets for the kids to go to the concert? Who buys the record albums? Who buys the CDs? Who buys the cassette tapes? A lot of times the parents do. I speak from experience. I mean, some first record I remember having was paid for by my parents. But they're blinded. They're blinded by their parents. Parents keep them locked up in the false religion, and somebody tries to give them a tract, they pull them away. And we see it on visitation, going out trying to witness to people. They'll let them talk to the folks walking down, you know, they'll let them talk to those folks, try to give them a tract. What are you doing to my kid? While they could be out in the corner talking to the local drug dealer, and the parents wouldn't know nothing, you try to give them a gospel tract. No, no, don't give that stuff to my kid. You're a fool. You're a fool. And I tell you that the devil keeps folks blinded all kinds of ways. Keeps them blinded by sin. I mean, one of the reasons why the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ is the world's best kept secret is because Beelzebub is blinding the world. The second reason why it's the best kept secret in the world, the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, is because the lost people aren't looking. The lost people aren't looking. How come more lost people don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven? How come more of the heathen in the far reaches of the world don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven? Don't blame it on God. It is not God's fault. God has done all that He needs to do in order to get the people saved. He came down and walked on this earth. He made Himself a man. He came down and lived and shed His blood and died. He did all that He could do. Rose again from the dead for our justification, and now it's up to people. One reason why more folks don't know about how to get saved is because they're not looking. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. Listen, there is none that seeketh after God. That's the way we are. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why the world ain't looking for God. Do you know why a lot of more people don't know about how to get saved earlier than they do? Because they're not looking for how to get saved. I mean, somebody said, you know, the reason why a sinner can't find Jesus Christ is the same reason why a thief can't find a policeman. He ain't looking. I mean, if you had the goods in your hand, you're going to be going out looking for a policeman and say, excuse me, sir, could you tell me, I just made this, can you tell me how to get down? That's why sinners don't look for God, because if they find Him, they know that He's going to say, guilty, guilty, guilty. What they're not aware of, He's going to tell them how to get forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. The truth is, I talk about my testimony, and I talk about how I was looking for the Lord for many months, and I was. But before that time, I wasn't looking for Him. I mean, for good part of my life, the better part of my life, before I got saved, I wasn't even looking. I love Him because He first loved me. I began to look for Him because He began to put the pressure on. I mean, He began to hedge me about and do some things in my life that made me feel and understand the void that was there. And I knew then that I needed something more than I had. But I wasn't looking. I wasn't looking. And when I started looking, I found not long after that. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. And that's why men haven't found. They're not seeking. By nature, men don't seek after God. There's none that seeketh after. We read in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 11. There's none that seeketh after God. And if you start to seek Him, you'll find Him. You'll find Him. The reason why people don't find the Lord Jesus Christ and God's plan of salvation through Him is because they're not looking. Once you earnestly desire to look, you'll find. You say, well, what about the Mormons? Aren't they sincere? No, they're not. So what about JWs? Aren't they sincere? No, they're not. If they were, they'd find Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:24, grace be to all them, or with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. A man who's sincere will get the right doctrine. If any man will do his will, said Jesus Christ, they shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The reason why a person doesn't get right doctrine is he's not sincere. And the reason they don't understand salvation through Christ is because they're not really looking for it. Jeremiah said, ye shall search for me. It was God speaking through Jeremiah. He said, ye shall search for me, and ye shall find me when ye seek me with the whole heart. Or you'll seek me and find me when you search me with the whole heart. I mean, he said, that's when you go find Him, when you're seeking with the whole heart. But this world doesn't seek. They don't seek. They have no time to seek, they think. They're too busy. Oh, I have things to do. Always got something to do, don't you? Always got something to do. Last days, many shall run to and fro. They're going to be zooming here and zooming there and zooming here and zooming there. I mean, we get caught up in it sometimes as Christians, but the lost world is so busy, some of them, they got no time to seek after God. So they think. Oh, they got time to spend 3 hours on the golf course. They don't have time to seek after God. They got time to go to the movies, but they ain't got time to seek after God. They got time to rent a video, but they ain't got time to seek after God. No, they don't have time because what they have to do is so much more important than making sure they're not going to hell. Fact of the matter is they have time. They just don't spend it wisely. Reason why they don't seek after God is they got it too good. They got it too good. They're spoiled. Many Americans are a bunch of spoiled brats. I mean, this is the upper. I mean, even the lower and middle class folks were just a bunch of spoiled brats. And then the folks again in what they call the upper class, and you know the upper crust. And of course, you know what the upper crust is, don't you? Just a few crumbs that made it to the top. But I mean, the folks like that. I was talking to one of our members, and he's telling me about a particular executive where he works, and how this guy was having a meeting with some of the folks from the work and the employees, and the employees, you know, had an opportunity to air out their grievances, and some were complaining, you know, we'd like to go to church on Sunday, and got us working these Sundays and so forth. And the guy who was, what I was told, he was a multimillionaire, the guy said, there ain't no God. He said, all right, don't want to work on Sunday, all right, find you another job. And that spiritual imbecile, I'm that spiritual ignoramus. He doesn't fear God or seek after God because he's got it too good. As long as he's got his hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in or his $1 million coming in, he's got a nice place to live and a nice position at work where he doesn't have to do much work but kind of hang around and get paid a lot for doing it. I mean, he ain't worried about God. There's no God. God's going to one day humble such folks as that. God's got one day there's going to be a rude awakening. One day, the eyes are going to be open, and that man is going to one day square off with that God who he said didn't exist. But right now, got it too good. Got it too good. So what is he remains blinded. He doesn't find out the world's best kept secret because he's lost and he's not looking. I was talking to my dad about a year and a half ago about these matters and Bible and some prophecy and so forth. And trying to get an inroad to deal with him about it, as I've dealt with him before, and he has a hard time hearing it from me. He could more easily talk to somebody else that he worked with about it, but me, his own son, you know, prophet is not that I'm a prophet, but he's not without honor except in his own country, you know, and among his own people, and they just have a hard time listening to it from their kids, and he had a hard time listening from me, and he finally just blurted out and burst out with vents, you know, from the inside, and said, It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. It just doesn't matter. What my dad meant was this. He meant the Catholic priest is telling him one thing. His sons tell him another thing. The Buddhists are saying something else. And the folks in China and Japan and Thailand and Mexico are saying something else. And who am I to say that one of them's wrong and the other one is right and the others are wrong? Who am I to say? It's just too hard for me. There's too many possibilities. I got it good now. I ain't worried about it. Bible says in the book of Psalms, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And because everything just keeps floating along pretty well in their life and no big tragedies and no big bad things happening, they don't know much about hunger. I mean, fasting to them is a foreign word. I mean, what is that? It's German or something? I mean, they wouldn't even think about that. They have no idea. They just fill their bellies, whose God is their belly, fill their belly with this, with that, the other thing, and got the money flowing in, enough money to take care of the bills, enough money to contemplate buying something else in the near future, and always got something in the hopper, and always got something going, always pressing towards that next thing that they're going to be able to buy, and so they just don't care. The reason why the gospel, another reason why the gospel is the best kept secret in the world is because lost people ain't looking. Do you know that heathen in different parts of the world, what we call the heathen, do you know if they responded in their heart to the light that they've got, God would send them somebody to tell them the truth? And it has been evidenced by the fact that it's happened. There are missionaries all over this world telling folks how to get saved because somebody out there in a darkened, heathen, spiritually darkened land wanted to know God. They like Cornelius, did the best they could with the knowledge that they had. And God sent them somebody like Peter to show unto them the way of salvation more perfectly and to show them words whereby they should be saved. But the lost people ain't looking. That's why the gospel remains the best kept secret in the world. It remains the best kept secret in the world, number one, because Beelzebub is blinding. Number two, because lost people aren't looking. And number three, and finally, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation for individuals is the best kept secret in the world because the saved ain't saying. The saved ain't saying. Beelzebub is blind and the lost ain't looking and the saved ain't saying. The saved walk around keeping their mouth shut about God. They walk around keeping their mouth shut about Jesus Christ. Some of you in here today, you don't open up your mouth about the Lord. I mean, if it was up to you to get the gospel out in your area or this area of the world, the gospel wouldn't be gotten out. Face the facts. Face the facts. I mean, if it wasn't for some other people that decided to take the burden upon themselves and put it out, it wouldn't be done because you're not doing it. You are when you go out in the world, you're a secret disciple. Like Nicodemus, who came unto Jesus by night. And then later on, when he begged for the body of Jesus and helped Joseph of Arimathea with the body of Jesus, did it by night, secretly, for fear of the Jews. They're secret disciples. Don't want anybody to find out. Don't want to open up your mouth and face any persecution. Let's face it. You open up your mouth, you're going to get persecuted. Good night. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more they're going to persecute his servants? If they nailed the master of the house to the tree on the cross, how much more they're going to do something to you? We got folks willing to die for Jesus Christ, ain't willing to live for Him. They say, oh, I'd die for the Lord. Will you open up your mouth and die to yourself and live for Him? That may be more of a test than saying you'll die for Him. I'm telling you folks today, the saved ain't saying. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses are putting God's people to shame when it comes to witnessing. That's why they're called Jehovah's Witnesses. They're witnessing. They're just witnessing for the false doctrine. And listen, before I got saved, I never had one Bible-believing Christian come and knock on my door and tell me how to get saved, other than when I was about 18 years old, a friend of mine who already knew me came and tried to witness to me when I was 18. But I never had anybody going through the neighborhood knocking on the doors, ringing the doors. In fact, the only religious person that ever came to our door was one, I believe it was a Saturday morning, knocked on the door and opened up. And it was a Jehovah's Witness going from door to door. That's the only one. And what are we doing about it? One of my goals for this area is when a person's at home and they see somebody coming up to their door, they don't think, here comes the JWs or the Mormons. It goes, oh, here comes them Bible-believing Baptists again. I mean, listen, we dropped the ball years ago. That Bible still says that we're to preach the Word of God daily and in every house, and that Paul went about preaching repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went and did this from house to house, publicly and from house to house. Read Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. You know who goes publicly and house to house? Jehovah's Witnesses. I was witnessing a guy yesterday, and he was defending himself, his philosophy and all this, and he's way out. I mean, way out with his thought. But I listened to him, you know, and Paul said, you know, you suffer fools gladly. And so I just listened to him and talked and interjected and put it to him, put the spiritual screws to him and so forth. But and we were very kind to each other and had a nice time. And he said, you know, I'm just not one to go out and say it to a lot of people, and I'm not like, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, getting out in the street corner and this, that, and the other thing. And And I say, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't get out on street corners. And they don't get out on street corners and holler it out. That's what he was saying they did. He said, well, who are those, you know, folks that get out there on street corner and holler it out? I said unashamedly and without feeling one, I didn't feel embarrassed by a bit. I said, that's me. And you know who felt like the fool? Yeah, he quickly passed over that and went on to the next point. You know, after that, he's the one that felt like a fool because he just unknowingly called me an idiot. Which, you know, it's good for me every once in a while to be called an idiot. I mean, it helps me keep my perspective on life. But the people that are putting it out, a lot of times people putting out false doctrine. My heart grieves as I see all throughout this area. I see all throughout this area Mormon young men and now Mormon young ladies riding their bikes on the streets, sometimes through the rain, going to people's houses and giving them the gospel. Oh, we sit back, some of you sit back and criticize their doctrine, but they're spreading their doctrine at a faster rate than you're spreading yours. I read about the folks in the book of Acts. One of the things that the world indicted them for was they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine.
Amen.
That's exactly what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
And the world can indict us for it, but we're supposed to put it out.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why, one of the reasons why the gospel is the best kept secret in this earth is because the saved ain't saying. The saints are keeping their mouths shut. They ain't about to face the persecution. They ain't about to have anybody reproach them. They want an easy lane. Nice and sweet, no problems. Listen, if the early church faced persecution, you can expect to face at least a little bit of it. After all, I'd hate to stand before the judgment seat of Christ never having faced any persecution when I know that there's people that have been stoned for their faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's too hard for us to do anything today. And we don't come. Folks don't come to church because it's too hard. People don't read their Bible because it's too hard. They don't get on their knees and pray because it's too hard. They won't come to church Sunday night. Why is that? Because it's too hard. They won't open up their mouth and witness because it's too hard. They won't pass out tracts because it's too hard. What do you think the Christian life's supposed to be? All easy? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The Bible said that in the New Testament, in the epistles actually, and. And the Lord said, He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But His yoke, that's when we get up together and work with Him. But there's going to be some hardness in it. Endure hardness. You got to work. You got to work. A little spiritual sweat would do you good. The saints ain't saying. The saved ain't saying. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We've got it back there on our missionary board. But that ain't just for the Ukraine. That ain't just for Russia. That ain't just for Thailand. That ain't just for Africa. That ain't just for New Zealand. That is also for New York. That's also for Niagara County and Erie County. It's for everybody. This is part of the world. We're supposed to get out the gospel. And one of the reasons why there's people in Lockport that don't know how to be saved is because the saved ain't saying. The saved people ain't saying. They're keeping their mouths shut. The Bible says, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" And the fact is, they need a preacher to hear. And you who are saved are called to preach the gospel. You're called to go out and give it to them. And get you a fistful of tracts and go out. And don't come home till you pass the things out.
Amen.
I mean, get out the gospel. Let the folks know. Like the testimony song says, "There's a flag flown high in the castle of my heart. And in the castle of my heart, the king is a resident there." It says, "Let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is a resident there." That is, I've got Jesus in my heart and I want the world to know how to tell them about it. We have heard the joyful sound, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Spread the tidings all around. "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Tell the sinners far and wide, "Jesus saves." And what do? We walk around and we walk around like a lost person. Worried about the same things they're worried about, entangling the affairs of this world, worried about this, worried about that. So hung up on our own problems that we don't go out and give the answer to sinners to how they can solve their main problem of sin in their life. Song says about how a person was praying, talked to the Lord, and he said, "He filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary He died, and right now He is alive." And that's what you ought to do. You ought to go out there and tell Him. Go out there and tell Him. You ought to go out there and tell them, "Look, you've got the cure for sin. You've got the answer for the world's woes and for sinners' problems." But the problem is, saved people ain't saying. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The reason I got to be almost 19 years old before I knew the plan of salvation according to Scripture was because not only was Beelzebub blinding, not only was I lost and not looking, but because there were saved people that weren't saying. When I was a senior in high school, I sat in a class we called Econ, short for Economics. It's a required class you had to take and pass in order to graduate. Let's see what they put. The two classes you had to pass in order to graduate, and they made a big deal of it, were Civics and Econ. That was politics and money. You know, you can see where they're heading. But I sat in that class, and I sat in the back with a friend of mine I'd known since I was in kindergarten, and another a girl who was back there, her name was Robin. And this girl went to the only Baptist church in our town. Thus, my knowledge, there's still only one Baptist church in Wilmington, Illinois, where I grew up. And now, they weren't a Bible-believing Baptist church like we were, but they knew the plan of salvation, and they knew the gospel, and they knew how to be saved. And, they went to church and Sunday school and Sunday morning. They had services and Sunday night, I believe, and so on and so forth, just like we would have here. And Robin, as we sat in the back of class, Robin, we would talk with Robin. You know, me and my friend, we talked with her. We talked with Robin, and she talked with us about rock and roll songs. We'd talk about drugs. But Robin never one time opened up her mouth to tell me about salvation. Robin would go to her church, and she would sing in the church. She was a very talented singer. She'd go in her church, and she'd sing. She'd sing in the church. Matter of fact, she'd sing in our high school assemblies and so forth, too. But Robin would never open up her mouth and tell me how to get saved. Robin had the opportunity to get saved or tell me how to get saved, but she never did. But she talked to me about rock and roll. We'd cut up in class and mess around. We're supposed to be listening to the teacher, but she wouldn't tell. She never did tell me I'd get saved. She was saved, as far as I know, probably saved, but she wasn't saying. One of my best friends when I was younger than that was a young man named Tony Wilson. And Tony Wilson, I'd go to his house, and we'd play wiffle ball, and we'd play football, and we'd play basketball, and all that kind of good stuff. But Tony Wilson also went to that only Baptist church in town. I never knew much of a testimony from him. I mean, Tony's dad smoked a pipe, and so one day I saw Tony getting out some of his dad's tobacco, newspaper and so on and so forth, and out to the garage, and there, he was. And me and Tony, we'd talk about things that we shouldn't talk about, and we'd play, every day and so forth, but never one time did Tony Wilson tell me how to get saved. Not only that, never one time did Tony Wilson's parents try to tell this young little neighborly friend how to get saved. As far as I know, they didn't care enough for my soul to really even care or be concerned. I have no idea if they ever prayed for me. If they do, I thank God that they did that at least, but I have no idea that they did. I do know that they were too chicken to tell me how to get saved. The little Roman Catholic boy from down the road. I mean, my best friend, one of my good friends, the other kid that sat by me in econ class, and I knew him since I was in kindergarten. He went to an evangelical Christian church. Knew about this stuff, and we talk about record albums. He introduced me to Pink Floyd, but he never introduced me to Jesus Christ. And listen, the reason why the gospel was hid to me for 19 years almost was largely because the saved people weren't saying. I never saw or heard a street preacher in my town. I never saw or heard anybody out on the street passing out tracts with a fistful of gospel tracts. In our town, when we had our big bashes and they blocked off the streets and people ran hither, thither, and yon, partying, nobody was out there passing out tracts that I ever saw. And the saved people were silent. They're too busy and riding the world like a merry-go-round. How shall they hear without a preacher? It's the world's best-kept secret, and it's a tragedy. In town there are today, from your area, there are today people that are ignorant of the plan of salvation. And to them, the gospel is the best kept secret. Some of them are out there looking and wondering, I wish I knew the answer. But you've never told them. You've never told them. You've never told them. It took me 18 plus years before I found out. But don't you know, the night I found out, I hopped on board the train of salvation.
Amen.
And been with the chief engineer, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the steam of the Holy Spirit pumping out the spout. And I've been on the choo-choo to heaven ever since. Now, you know the tragedy of that is? I don't know this to be true, but it might have been. If somebody, when I was younger, one of my friends might have pulled me aside when I was over there for hours playing and my mom couldn't say boo. If they would have pulled me aside and said, hey, just let me show you this from the Bible. It's very important. Show me how to receive Jesus Christ, my Savior, and led me to ask Him to save me. There's a good chance I probably would have done it then. And I might have saved myself a lot of trouble in the years between that and when I did come to know the Lord as my Savior. So the question is, it's bad enough Beelzebub is blinded. It's bad enough that the lost ain't looking. But if you're saved, it's even more of a tragedy that you're not saying anything about it. Father in heaven, help us to open our mouths. Help us to get out gospel tracts. Help us to go knock on doors. Help us to go out into the highways and the hedges and the streets. Help us to go downtown with a fistful of tracts and get out in the corners and preach. And help us to let this world know that there is salvation for them in Jesus Christ. I shudder to think, Lord, when I hear about some tragedies that take place in our area. Homes that are wrecked. People's lives that are lost in tragic fashion. And I wonder, did we get the gospel to them? Do we get the gospel to them? I pray that you'd help people in this church, Lord, to take it seriously as a responsibility for themselves to try to get out the gospel wherever they go. And let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. In Jesus' name, amen.